Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the two-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net. Star Wars fans, episode 80 of Tatooine Sons. One of J.J. Abrams' great friends is Kevin Smith of Jay and Silent Bob fame. Last week, he told of what he learned when visiting Pinewood Studios in London. He says it will melt your face off. Plus, we'll catch up on some hot takes and celebrate a milestone for the show.
The dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural.
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true. It's true. All of it.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that Porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen to it.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father, sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I am joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Achuta Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then the ending of T-Ross will probably not melt your face off.
And you won't have any idea what T-Ross is when he said that.
I like that name. I like how that rolls off, T-Ross.
Yeah. T-Ross?
Yeah. Sounds like T-Rex, but it's not.
For those of you that are, you know, stuck somewhere in the back side of Tatooine, that stands for the Rise of Skywalker.
And of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad's bow tie that I got.
We're recording on a Tuesday night, finally.
It's been a while.
About 2 months since we actually recorded on this night. It's been crazy. Yeah. We're gonna get back on schedule. We're working on it. We've got this will be our third week in a row doing an episode. That's pretty good. We're back on track now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, like kind of consistently. We haven't been doing it on Tuesdays, but it's just been
we've been putting out the episode on Friday.
We're making improvement.
We're moving in the right direction. I don't think I got it up on Making Star Wars this week, but we'll do them both in the same week and get a double bump. But anyway, we hit a milestone today, guys.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I got a bad feeling about this.
How did you do that quote?
I don't know, because it was a milestone. So I don't have like a celebratory sound effect.
You can do the siren.
We'll do the siren.
Well, you should have done this.
We'll do that one too. We have cleared 5,000 followers on Twitter as of today.
Great kid! Don't get cocky!
You guys don't, like, interact on Twitter at all, no. So that's not that big a deal to you guys, but...
That's still cool, though.
When we started this podcast, we had less than 200.
All right.
And I had spent months trying to build it. And now we're over 5,000. So I made a promise today, guys. I don't know if you guys know about this.
No, I did not.
When I saw that we were, like, less than 20 away from achieving this monumental milestone...
It is pretty big.
5,000 followers on Twitter. I put out there that anybody that followed us today would be entered into a raffle to receive one of this month's sticker of the month. You know, our did somebody say Sith Trooper?
Yeah, yeah.
You guys like that sticker, right?
Yeah, it's a cool sticker.
Baby name. They can't hear your head nod. He's just going to keep nodding. Yeah, this is going to be
head one of nodding those, noises.
Episodes. So I randomly selected somebody just as right before the show began.
Okay.
And so you guys want to do like a drum roll?
It's probably going to totally screw up the mic.
Yeah, probably. Zach Mack.
Zach. Oh, whoa. That's cool.
Zach Mack.
Sounds like a superhero.
He's the winner.
Zach so
his Twitter handle is Beardy Book Nerd.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. And he's a writer, a blogger, and a sit-down comedian instead of a stand-up comedian. And he likes Star Wars more than you do. I doubt that, Zach.
I don't know.
But that's I'll be reaching out to you, Zach, over the next couple of days and getting your address so we can mail you one up for this month's sticker of the month. The did somebody say Sith Troopers?
Cool.
Sticker. So that's kind of cool. San Diego Comic-Con's over.
Yeah.
Can you guys recall any like news from like the stage that happened? Like panels that. I mean, I guess the Kylo Ren thing we'll talk about at the end was pretty big, but
and then there was
some book releases. Yeah, Vader Immortal we'll talk a little bit about.
Lots of Marvel stuff. If you're a Marvel fan, that was huge.
Yeah, people, there's a lot of Star Wars fans that are kind of like flipping out because we didn't get a ton of Star Wars content. No announcements of a TV series, no panel.
But if you were listening,
yeah, exactly. But if you were listening to this show back all the way back in April, after you're gonna burp on camera, no, on the mic,
cop.
All right.
I'm assuming you.
Yeah, anyway.
I'm good.
Yeah, if you were listening to the show all the way back in April when we had our interview with Anthony Breznik, and he made it very clear there wasn't going to be any news coming out.
See, this is why you got to listen to us. We got the news.
But we are going to be getting some news. And I believe, BB Nate, what you were saying a minute ago is exactly where we're going to get all the news. D23 coming up in just a few weeks at the end of August, doing a Mandalorian panel, doing a Rise of Skywalker panel. Real quick, predictions. What do we hear? What do we do? What do we get out of D23?
I have no clue. I was not prepared for this question.
Mm-hmm.
Official trailer release for The Mandalorian.
Okay.
Trailer release. I think so that's pretty safe bet, though.
None of this stuff that we saw. I mean, like cleaned up and professional version of what we saw.
And it's released to the
public. Not the behind the scenes a trailer.
Just like a teaser trailer. Yeah. Okay.
All right. That's good for you because you're like pretty pumped about The Mandalorian.
Wow. Yeah. I'm very pumped for The Mandalorian.
Hmm. Maybe Nate, what do you think? Do you think we get something from T-Ross from The Rise of Skywalker?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that it's not going to be going to D23 either.
Oh, come on. They're going to give us
something. What about a sizzle reel?
I think we get a sizzle reel.
Yeah.
So that's
what we need some more meat.
Yeah, let's see some behind the scenes stuff.
So then we can go through frame by frame and analyze every pixel.
Stinking frame. All right, here's the last one.
Because you know that's what fans
just put it in an iMovie and click the arrow key.
Yeah, that's what
you do. Just literally like frame by frame through it. Last thing, I'll ask BB Nate since we're trying to get him warmed up and into the conversation tonight.
I mean, the conversation.
Maybe a little bit. do they make any announcements of any of the third Disney Plus series that they've talked about, or perhaps anything about Rian Johnson? Do we get any of that at D23?
I'm hoping for the Rian Johnson trilogy. I don't think that they're going to be releasing anything about that at D23, but I think they will announce a third Disney Plus series, hopefully Kenobi.
Yeah.
You think they announce Kenobi at D23?
I'd love it.
In a Sherlock format.
Sure.
2-hour episodes.
Yeah, somebody on Twitter today was like, please don't make it a miniseries. Heck, if it's like 2-hour episodes and they give us 4 of them, I'm all in.
Yeah, right?
That's do like 4 seasons?
That'd be great.
Jeez.
I'd be all in.
That'd be cool.
Didn't get any new reviews or on Patreon this week. I'm just going to double check that because I like put out an appeal and I haven't seen one, but I'm gonna just go there. Why don't you guys talk about anything you guys want to talk about while I do this real quick?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of something, but it's not. Hurry.
Why do
I was thinking about how excited I am for the next celebration.
Why do we only have a 4.5?
Because there are some tools out there that have given us a 1-star rating because we like The Last Jedi.
Boo.
Let's just be honest. We've been a pretty big fan of Rian Johnson.
I wear those 1-stars as a badge of honor.
I dare you to give us more 1-stars because we like Rian Johnson and The Last Jedi. Bring it on.
I've been seeing like clips for like the fight scene at the end of the Rise of Skywalker, the Last Jedi. And I'm like, man, that was a freaking good fight scene. Yeah,
when you said the Rise of Skywalker, I'm like, where did you get these?
Where'd you see that?
I slipped up. Where did these shields again?
That's right. It's Disney shields. Don't get paid a dime. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to this week's podcast poll of the week.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question till after I've done it.
What?
I mean, last week's podcast, probably the week. Anyway, last week we talked about Thrawn, right? I got the book. It came in today because it's available. And so I read the prologue.
I need to get started here. No, I got it. I can get it on my phone. I'm on the same Kindle. It's like Netflix, but with books.
Oh, yeah. I don't like.
So anyway, I read the prologue. I was a little bit tingly.
I think I remember what it is now. You spoiled me, but
that a Skywalker is in the opening in the prologue.
A Skywalker is in the prologue. He's not clarifying.
A Chiss.
Right, one of the Chiss children that is they call Skywalker. They don't even call it a Skywalker. No, they don't even call it a Skywalker. But that's clearly what it is if you listen to, and go back to listen to last week's show. Anyway, which Thrawn is better? It was an okay show. It wasn't as good as the one before. I'm just going to be honest with you. Who's that saying hi? Hey, Grammy.
Hi, Grammy.
So anyway, which Thrawn is better? Of course, we've got three people that are going to get a Make Turbis Canis sticker if I remember to get their addresses this week. I got to go back and do like the last three episodes. I apologize. You guys are awesome and I love you. All right. Win a Make a Turbis Canis sticker by voting in our poll and commenting below. If we read your comment on next week's episode, you win. All right. So we had which Thrawn is better? Conan? Wait, we just went into a Star Trek moment there.
Oh, Khan!
Sorry.
Wrong podcast.
Yeah, which
Thrawn? There's another one-star review.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna go on and give ourselves a one-star review after this. All right. Which Thrawn is better? Canon Legends, Waiting for Treason, meaning waiting to... Read this book or other comment below. I think I asked you guys this question, but Sam, what was your vote?
What did I say? I think I said canon.
Okay. BB Nate?
Oh, canon.
Yeah. I said waiting for treason. Okay. With that. The 2% gave us other comment below. I am honestly a little bit surprised.
So am I.
By this. And for like the first 3 or 4 days, I was jaw on the floor surprised because Canon was running away with this. It was in the 60% range for like 3 days with it. And it ended up winning the poll 43%, which is pretty handedly a victory over Legends, which only got 35%. 19% like the canon version of Thrawn enough to say they want to see what happens in this new book, which is what I would have voted. But 19% said Waiting for Treason. You guys surprised by that? BB Nate, you surprised by that at all? Really?
Oh, I'm totally surprised by that.
Why aren't you surprised by that?
I'm just saying, because the Legends have died off, and I think that people that loved the Legends books with Thrawn are just loving some new material that actually has to do with some of the stuff that's happening right now.
That's a fair assessment.
I think that's
BB Nate dropping another truth bomb. Boom.
Okay, another truth bomb. Why did you like and retweet your own tweet?
I do that all the time. It helps get the tweet back out there. It's like
it's sad that you can actually do that though. Like why?
Don't make fun of your old man. I've built us up to 5,000 Twitter followers, but based on my skills on Twitter.
Okay.
You wouldn't even know where to find the tweet button.
Yeah, you're actually probably right.
All right. Who's got the first one?
Oh.
Who's our first winner?
Jason Parks.
All right, read it. Matt Kavanaugh, 82.
Kavanaugh, yeah. I chose Legends because I feel Zahn had more free reign to play with. Not just Thrawn, but classic characters as well, since at the time the Thrawn trilogy, there were no new movies on the horizon or strict story guidelines to adhere to. I feel Canon Thrawn pales in comparison.
All right. Jason. I agreed with you all the way up to I feel Canon Throb pales in comparison. I get what you're saying on this. I loved the fact that you had Luke and Han and Leia and Chewie involved in the storylines with a Thrawn in the Heir to the Empire and that Thrawn trilogy.
And he had more room to work
with. And he did have more room to totally work with on it. And I remember sitting, I can literally envision myself. So the first... Sammy's trying to mock me right now. I remember the first, the Heir to the Empire, the first of this trilogy, I actually got on audio book.
Really?
I bought the audio cassettes of it at the bookstore.
Cassettes?
Cassettes. That's how long ago. It was like 92 is when this came out. Yeah, it was a long time ago, guys. That was like in high school.
Oh.
I remember sitting in our recliner in our living room at Grammy's house and listening to it. I remember like... It must have been, I listened to the whole thing straight through. I picked it up on like a Friday evening and I didn't go to bed. I stayed up and listened to the whole thing.
It was
so good. And it was funny because it was Dennis Lawson who played Wedge that did the audio book narration on it. Wedge Antilles. So he played that. I just remember it was really, cool. Really pretty good. So I get where you're coming from, Jason, but I disagree that Thrawn in canon pales in comparison. But you're allowed to have your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
We're allowed to disagree with it. All right, next one is I'm going to pick this one. Megan Rickards. I just want to say how much I appreciate Megan. She's an awesome fan of this show. She loves Turbis, and she's got a blog out that you need to check out, so go find her. Her Twitter handle is FAAPOV. I'm not sure what that means, if that maybe stands for Federal Aviation Administration point of view. Maybe. I don't know. But that's
oddly specific.
FAAPOV. FAAPOV. But Megan, she's awesome. You guys, we met Megan. This was Megan was getting ready to go see The Last Jedi at the premiere when we waited in line. Yeah. And she was writing an article for Dorks. I think it's Dork Side of the Force.
I think so.
Or maybe Followers of the Force. I can't remember which one. But anyway, we met her, and she's been a big fan of the show ever since.
That was at California.
Yeah, we were in Tokyo. So this is what she said. She said, "I don't like judging before I have all the facts. I do, but I also don't mind having my mind changed if a good point comes along," which is like classic Megan, the way that she worded that. That's why I'm waiting for Treason. And Megan, that's why you're smart. Let yourself read Treason. Let us know afterwards. All right, next
and
one.
I love this one. It's
our last reader.
This is from The Norse Awakens at The Norse Awakens. And he says, "The live action version. Oh, wait, it doesn't exist."
Yeah.
Yes. I'm right there with them because I really want to see Thrawn.
Gotta put in the yet.
Yeah, so in the end, do we see Thrawn in T-Ross?
Well, with my theory that you heard last week... It's very possible.
Yeah.
And it's a great
If you didn't hear it, you can go back and listen to episode 79.
Can I say I hope so?
Sure. It ain't happening. All right. I guess that does it for this portion of the show. Let's start. Let's move into some more Star Wars talk.
Say Metro by T-Mobile. Got the best deal in wireless. And it's all for you. All for me. Just switch quickly. Because Metro has two lines for $80 and two Samsung Galaxy J7 Star phones for free. Plus Amazon Prime included. That's the way wireless should be. Only at Metro.
Plus sales tax and activation fee. $50 plus rate plan required. Not valid for numbers currently on T-Mobile network or on Metro in past 90 days. Offer subject to change. Offer valid for new Amazon Prime members. Amazon Prime has a $12.99 per month value. Restrictions apply. See store for details and terms and conditions.
The original Star Wars was screened last month. Do you guys know about this yet?
No.
Oh, could we finally be getting the chance to see it again in theaters?
Uh-oh.
Since R2-D2 has been around for the entire Skywalker saga, what are the chances that Crazy Uncle George's original idea ends the Rise of Skywalker? Oh, and by the way, is Turbis about to be made canon? It's time for Hot Takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All right, so the unaltered Star Wars A New Hope could be headed back.
Wait, like theatrical version?
Could be headed back to theaters. The source was Inverse.com. I'll link to it in our show notes. Last month, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, that's the ones that do like the Oscars.
Oscars.
Yeah, exactly. Had a double screening of A New Hope and Rogue One. And apparently, the cut of A New Hope was a 1981 70mm print of the film pre-special edition. People who went to the screening said that A New Hope was on the crawl, but other than that, this was the original film. Now, just I'll insert in here. George had said that they believe, the authors of this article believe, that they had to get special permission from George in order to show that version. Mm-hmm. All right. So now that 20th Century Fox merger is complete, and Disney and Fox are, at least where Lucasfilm is concerned, the same company, it seems like some of these distribution rights stuff could go away. In other words, the company that originally distributed and produced Star Wars, Fox, is connected to Lucasfilm again. And if George Lucas is okay with the Academy showing an old 1981 print of A New Hope to film critic people in Hollywood, then maybe, just maybe, a re-release of A New Hope is coming. BB Nate, do you want to see this in the theaters, and do you think it will ever happen?
So the first question, not really, no.
You don't want to see it in the theaters?
Sarcasm.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence is wrong.
All right, good. All right.
No, that was sarcasm. Yes, of course, because, you know, it's A New Hope and it's pre-special.
And you guys have literally never seen it in the A New Hope that I fell in love with. It was not even called A New Hope when I fell in love with it. It was just Star Wars.
I think that it's very possible. And the good thing is, we don't have like a small local theater. We have an AMC that we go to.
We're not sponsored by them, but if they want to give us free AMC stubs, A-list for the rest of the time, we'll take it.
Definitely.
Yeah. So you would definitely be excited. Do you think it's going to happen?
Yes, because I'm seeing that more recently some theaters are re-showing A New Hope, Return of the Jedi, and Empire Strikes Back special edition, but they're still showing it in their theaters.
So you're hoping and you think that
eventually it's going to happen.
What do you think, Samuel?
Oh, I would totally see that. I feel like it'd be huge too. Like if that happened, that would be almost like the premiere of a new Star Wars film, I feel like. But I would totally love to do that. That way I could say I saw A New Hope in theaters.
I've never seen A New Hope in theaters. Not that version.
The only
version I saw in the theaters was a special edition.
Come on, please. I mean, I would love to see the one before special edition. Like, totally would love to see it.
Right, that's what this is.
Right, but I'd be fine with just seeing A New Hope again in theater. Or New Hope.
Even if it was a special edition?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe you could see, you know.
It is a very different film, guys.
Really?
There's a lot of stuff in the special edition that's very different. I mean, story is the same.
Right.
I think the only thing that they added to the 1981 version was one line from C-3PO. And I'm trying to remember what it is. That may be like a Joseph Scrimshaw, Kim Knapsack, Sam Witwer, Alex Damon level question. I may have to reach out to them at. It was something about, I can't remember. Oh, that's going to bug me now. I'll have to reach out to him. But yeah, maybe we'll talk about it on the next episode. Oh, I definitely want this to happen. I want to go see Star Wars.
Maybe. Would it conflict with canon?
No, it doesn't change canon at all. In fact, wouldn't it be cool if they just went ahead and did the 1977 version without A New Hope episode 4 at the beginning and just let it be the original Star Wars, just Star Wars?
Okay, what if we could find a theater around us like Tinseltown or Cinemark or something like that?
Or AMC. What are you talking about?
No, I'm not really talking about what we're talking about. It's kind of the same subject.
Then explain.
What if we could find the marathon of all the Star Wars movies leading up to the Rise of Skywalker, Avengers?
We do need to put it on the schedule, or like our build-up marathon, though, of watching all the movies. We've got to like start planning it out. There's 10 of them right now that we have to watch.
Yeah.
And there are like some things online that are like inserting in Clone Wars and Rebels and Resistance.
Oh, we don't have time for
and that. All that. They're like calling it the ultimate marathon, or you know, that kind of thing. Not that you would watch it all at once. You couldn't.
No, but
I don't think we have time for that.
I'd have to be cool to see them all in the theaters, like what we did with the Avengers. All
right, so let's move on. Should Star Wars 9 end with George Lucas's original R2-D2 twist?
No, don't spoil it. I want to hear
this. This is an idea. Okay, so Star Wars 9 ends with ends the Skywalker saga. This is from ScreenRant.com. Again, I'll link to it in our show notes. Star Wars 9 ends the Skywalker saga, and it should use, according to ScreenRant.com, George Lucas's original twist ending for the Star Wars franchise to do so. Lucas had initially planned to finish the story with a big reveal featuring R2-D2, and even though he abandoned the idea, there's now a chance for Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker to bring it back. Originally, this is a quote from Crazy Uncle George. All right? Originally, I was trying to have the story be told by somebody else. There was somebody watching this whole story and recording it. Somebody probably wiser than the mortal players in the actual events. I eventually dropped this idea, and the concept behind the wills turned into the Force. But the wills became part of this massive amount of notes, quotes, background information that I used for the scripts. The stories were actually taken from the Journal of the Wills. Later, that's the end of the quote. Later, Lucas expanded upon this, revealing that he believed the story of the Skywalker saga was being relayed to a keeper of the wills by none other than R2-D2, taking place 100 years in the future. That makes some sense, since R2-D2 had never had his memory wiped, so would recall everything, and it might also explain why R2-D2 is one of Star Wars' main heroes who frequently saves the day. Samuel the Hutt, simple question. Good idea?
He wasn't there for a lot of stuff. How would he get some of that information? Just talk to the people?
What major stuff would he not have been there for? Not be aware of, at least
some. The Kylo Ren Rey fight?
Yeah, that's the first one that comes to mind. And then I know that there are a lot.
The Darth Vader. Luke Skywalker, Insidious.
Luke, Wampa Cave.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but Luke could have told him that. Luke could have told him all those stories. He could be, you know, who knows what's going to happen with Ben and Rey at the end of this, is where Kylo Ren and Rey as well, where they could be relaying the information to
him. So what he's talking about is exactly, like, really close to the Legends of Luke Skywalker.
Explain.
Sort of.
Explain.
Luke Skywalker was telling these stories and these kids got a hold of them. Of course, changed them up a little bit, but they were telling these stories of Luke Skywalker throughout all of it.
Right, which is sort of the way The Last Jedi ends, with them playing like Luke Skywalker and telling the story.
Yeah.
With that. Do you like the idea? If they could pull it off, if they could kind of like find a way to retcon things to where you understand how R2-D2 knows some of the details that you think he doesn't know. Do you like the idea of the end of The Rise of Skywalker, the end of the Skywalker saga being these Wills characters showing up again, because we've seen him in the Clone Wars, and R2-D2 conveying everything 100 years down the road.
In some ways, yes, I like it. It feels nice. But in other ways, it feels like a really fairy tale ending.
Yeah, like, I don't think that JJ's going
to really fairy tale. And I mean, that's nice in some ways, but it kind of feels like, I don't know why this comes to mind. It's probably not accurate. Actually, what movie is that? It's not Princess Bride. It's like where the guys... What movie is that where the guy's telling the story?
The story to the little boy. That is the Princess
Bride. That's Princess Bride. Yeah. It kind of feels like that in a way.
But that's a fairy tale.
Right, I know.
This is like recounting history. What if you end it with R2-D2, you know, beginning to tell the story or something, and you see him project Leia and help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're our only hope. And that's, not only do we end it with like one of the most iconic moments in the entire saga, but also
remembers Carrie Fisher.
It reveres Carrie Fisher as the ending. What do you think about that idea, BB?
And then you zoom out and you see that they're in Galaxy's Edge and it was all a giant ad.
Oh, jeez, Nate.
Telling it to a little 4-year-old kid.
No. This is madness.
Oh, come on.
I mean, I don't know why, but something just doesn't sit right with me. I can't explain why. I might love it if it happens in theaters.
I need more emotion and sadness to end.
I just think it would really feel like...
If that happened, I'd be crying.
Oh, yeah. I think if they do it right, it could tie up the whole Skywalker saga in a really nice bow, which then allows everybody to put the Luke and everything stuff away and us move into the next era of Star Wars with the Benioff and Weiss stuff and the Rian Johnson stuff. And it doesn't have to be about maybe maybe Rian Johnson's is about the Wills 100 years later and something that's going on. It picks up right where that leaves off. That would be kind of cool. Rian's the one that wanted R2-D2 to be on the island with Luke.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of...
Well, we'll have to wait and see. All right, last one. The journey to the rise of Skywalker begins with Star Wars Adventures number 27. This is going straight to the source for it, IDWPublishing.com. And this is their press release.
Great podcast, Paul.
It is. IDW proudly announces that October's Star Wars Adventures 27 will debut a three-part storyline telling an untold chapter set between The Last Jedi and the thrilling conclusion of the Skywalker saga, Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. Issue 27 will debut a three-part monthly storyline by writer John Barber and artist Derek Charm featuring the mighty Wookiees. With the New Republic devastated, the First Order launches an attack on the planet Kashyyyk, and Chewbacca takes up arms to defend his people. It's a thrill of an honor to get to tell the story with the amazing Derek Charm, says Barber. Chewie's one of my favorite characters ever for as long as I can remember. Having the opportunity to tell his story to a new generation of Star Wars fans and all this leading up to the conclusion of the Skywalker saga is one of the biggest thrills of my career. But here's the thing that's really cool for us.
Yeah.
Is that the cover has a picture of what we know is named Turbis the Porg. And so BB Nate, is Turbis the Porg going to be canonized in this series?
Well, that's a little bit of a blunt question. I mean,
what do you think? Is it going to finally happen?
It's a great opportunity for it to be made happen because it's a kid's comic. It's not a huge one like Star Wars or the big series that 30-year-old men have read for as long as they can read comics for. Right. And this, I remember looking at the kind of the sampler free comic book day issue for Star Wars Adventures. And I'm like, this is really geared towards kids, but it is an awesome comic.
Yeah, well, they said it's an all-ages comic, so kids can read it, but it's not exclusive to kids.
No, and I think that this is just amazing because it's geared more towards kids. So I think that just that's better.
Okay, Samuel the Hutt, what do you think? Don't look.
Well, I already saw it, but my response is
good. All right, so I'll explain. So I reached out to our good friend Matt Martin, one of the Lucasfilm Story Group. Not really our good friend, but I consider him, when it comes to our Star Wars fandom, a friend of ours.
Yeah.
We've interacted with him regularly on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I can send him a message and he'll respond pretty accurately with it. And if we ran into him, he says hello and we talk. Yeah. So as far as this goes, he's a friend. All right. I'm trying to help some other friends of ours, get a chance to tour Lucasfilm through him, but it's the weekend before Galaxy's Edge opens in Florida and doesn't look good. He doesn't think he's going to be there. That's kind of bad.
Yeah.
But anyway, I reached out to him, and I asked him if we should get our hopes up about a certain comic book release in October. And his response was basically, ha-ha, I don't think that the writer has named the Porg in it, or has put a name of the Porg in it. So, to which I just responded to him, so you're telling me there's a chance? Because he didn't say it wasn't. I did also reach out to the writer, John Barber, and the artist, Derek Charm, on Twitter. I don't have their direct, we're not connected to where I can like message them.
Right,
but I did reach out to them and I have not heard back from either of them. So I will continue to bug them until they tell me. All right.
Until October comes and we have to buy a freaking comic. Actually, we'll just sit in the comic store and we'll just flip through. And then if it does happen, everyone in the comic store is going to think we're having a conniption.
Oh my gosh. We'll buy every copy. And then I'll have BB Nate autograph them and we'll sell them on eBay.
Right?
No, I'm just kidding. We are
not scalpers.
No, we're not. I'm just playing. All right. Well, I guess we should get to our main topic this week. Last week, Kevin Smith. You know, Jay and Silent Bob, Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Producer, director.
No, I actually comedian.
He was asked a throwaway question during an interview with IGN at San Diego Comic-Con. What he said, though, was anything but a throwaway.
Yeah.
It's got our heads spinning. And it's all about the final scene of the Skywalker saga.
Hmm. rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
So there was a scuttlebutt. Oh, I guess I should just go in and explain what's going on. I was going to read his quote, and I'm going to let him do it in a second. I'm going to let just we're going to listen to it. So okay, so IGN, which is a great kind of geek culture website, they had like a whole set where they were doing interviews and stuff like that, and they brought in Kevin Smith to talk about Jay and Silent Bob Rebooted, which they announced there, which was a big deal. Everybody that loves the Kevin Smith movies was freaking out about it. Like, he owns a comic book store. He's like total geek culture. Okay. Huge Star Wars fan. And all that. And he's really good friends with J.J. Abrams. So they spent, it's like a 15-minute interview, right?
Wow.
So they spent like 13 minutes talking about Jay and Silent Bob Rebooted.
Okay.
Right? And then at the end,
and like, oh no.
The guy's like, oh, they're telling me I gotta go. Mm-hmm. The hostess, he's like, they're telling me I gotta go, but I'm not gonna go unless I ask at least something about this. You're a huge Star Wars fan. Have you, you know, do you know what the ending of the Rise of Skywalker is? Have you asked JJ, or do you know anything about it? And this is Kevin Smith's initial response. We'll listen to the second part in a minute.
And there was a scuttlebutt about a set there on at Pinewood, a big set that they were like, you have to see this. When you see it, it'll melt your mind. And I was like, what was it? And they're like, ask JJ. And so I asked JJ, I was like, they keep telling me I should see the set. And he goes, don't. I said, why? And he goes, it's the last shot of the movie. So I was like, well, now I really want to see it. And he goes, you don't want this spoiled. You want to be in a theater when this happens. Trust me. And then other people on the crew were like, bro, I wish I hadn't seen it. I'm glad I did. He's going, but it will melt your mind.
BB Nate, what are your initial thoughts on this idea?
They put a lot of money into this movie, apparently.
Who did?
Disney.
Oh,
yeah. But yeah, obviously.
Of course. But a set, that's the big thing. And I feel like that's one of the...
Yeah, that's like the little hidden nugget. Everybody was talking about the phrase, it'll melt your mind.
But you got to think about
but what's the context your is the critical thing on
it's
that.
It's a set. It's not like a line.
It's not an actor. It's not a scene.
No.
It's the location.
So, like, the throne room set. That was a real set, you know, in the Last Jedi. Now, that would have been a great set. I mean, amazing to walk into and see, but it's not going to melt your mind.
Nope, not at all.
You know? I cannot think of a set that would melt your mind unless it had greater meaning. Like, something that we can relate it back to that gives it the power, you know? You can't just be melt your mind.
Or is it just, you know, super big and it'll just spoil the movie a tiny bit?
They're just filming.
No, there's no way that these guys were freaking out and that J.J. Abrams is saying what he's saying. He's like, don't see it. Don't go in there. Don't. You don't want to see this. Wait. Be with the fans. Be in the theater. See it with the fans.
That's the ones
don't be spoiled.
Is when you're watching it with fans, everyone's doing the same reactions at the same time. And then you go back a second time and you know when it's coming up and you're waiting for the people's reactions.
Do you think it's so much fun. Think we should see it once and then see another showing of it right after we've seen the first
one? I don't know. We may need to with that. Okay, so, it begs the question. What location could be on the table here to be such a jaw-dropping, face-melting location? And it's interesting because we were just talking in the hot take segment about the idea of that 100 years later with R2-D2. You don't think it could be something related to that, do you? You don't think that would be melt your face off?
No, because you wouldn't be able to tell really what's going on there unless you watch them filming that scene.
Yeah.
You know, which would then mean the scene was melting your face off.
Nothing? You got nothing? He's just shaking his head. Okay. What are some locations? Okay, so I've got a list here. We can just kind of go through them with it. What?
Do you want to play the second clip?
No, I'm going to play that in a minute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. My bad. I changed my mind. So.
Okay.
So let's talk about the locations for just a second.
All right.
Yavin 4. There's been a lot of rumors and a lot of set photos and things that some people believe indicates that this is Yavin 4. Is that where the ending is? And do you think that would be a face melting location, BB Nate?
No. It's a great base and all, but it's not face melting. I mean, I hope he's just not building it up. I hope JJ isn't building it up.
It doesn't sound like it. And then the whole, like, the crew saying the same thing.
I hope it's just not a big deal. I hope it's just not a big CG.
No. It was a practical set. Kevin Smith could have walked into Pinewood Studios, go to that set, and see it and know immediately what he was looking at. Mm. That's what he's indicating from this. And that's what JJ indicated, and that's what the crew indicated. And Yavin 4 could fall into that. I mean, it could be that recognizable.
Yeah.
But we've seen Yavin 4 since...
It's Rogue. It was a Rogue One, and you're like...
And it was like, oh, that's awesome.
Oh, wow.
It was cool.
But I wasn't freaking out over it.
Okay. Samuel, what about, like, Endor?
Cool to see that again. I would totally love to see it again, but it's not face melting to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, but let's think about this. Endor's, you know, maybe we're at the end of maybe it ends the same way that the Return of the Jedi ends, or we're in the Ewok village again. With that, I mean, we've got Death Star 2 most likely taking place in this movie, so that would lead you to believe we're at Endor. Where that wreckage is, or somewhere close to it. What do you think about the idea of BB&A? Do you think Endor could be a location?
I'd love to see the Ewoks again, but again, it's not face melting. It's not big enough. I need something big enough that JJ would say himself that he does not want it to get spoiled till the movie comes out and it's in theaters. For one of his closest friends. That right there explains to me that it is a big set and it is important to the movie. Yeah. I just don't feel like that. I would love to see the Ewoks again, and maybe we will. That would be great. But it's just not something that would melt my face off.
You think it's like Chief Wicket now? Like he's the leader of the Ewoks? That'd be kind of cool. And Warwick Davis got to play him, of course.
That'd be cool, but
reprise his role.
Because he's grown up too, so.
Yeah.
So. But, all right, what do you think? What are your ideas on Endor?
I said it'd be cool to see, but not face melting.
All right, what about Dagobah? What about going to the location? Maybe we see, like, maybe that's where Yoda's Force Ghost has been residing, and we go to Dagobah. What do you think about that, Samuel Hood?
I don't know. It's cool, but it's not big enough for me. Maybe I'm greedy, but I just doesn't feel big enough. Again, that would be really cool, but I don't think I would be like, whoa, that's cool, and then move on with the scene in my mind. You know, I'm trying to think, if I'm in theater and I see
Dagobah, so you're not having a Raiders of the Ark moment?
No, definitely not.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, where they open up the Ark of the Covenant and everybody's face literally melts moment if they show up on Dagobah?
No, I mean, it'd be cool, but not to that extent.
Again, with Sam, it's bigger than the last ones we've touched on, but it's not... I don't think any of us are trying to be greedy, but I just think that the way he built it up, I don't feel like it is going to be big enough. I mean, if I saw that as the last shot, I wouldn't walk out disappointed. I would just walk out with what he said.
I think it's the last scene.
Kind of like, why would he have said that? Why would JJ have built it up that much? I just don't think that it was something that would be so important to be the last shot.
I agree.
Okay, what about, and this, it feels like I might be off here, but I don't know, maybe it'll work. What about Coruscant, BB Nate? What about going to like the center of the entire empire, the center of the Republic, you're in maybe the Jedi Council, maybe that's where we're at, that's the set. It could be the Jedi Council reborn and they're back there again, and Rey is leading the Jedi Council, and there's maybe we do get Force Ghosts as part of the Jedi Council. What do you think about that idea, BB?
That's a little more face melting.
You see Ki-Adi Mundi like, What about the droid attack on the
wikis? Well, wouldn't it be cool, though, if you see Rey in, like, a central seat in the Jedi Council, like where they rebuilt it, where Yoda would normally sit, and then you see Qui-Gon Jinn's Force Ghost, Kenobi, Yoda, Mace,
Anakin, finally on the council,
Luke... You know,
Mace is like, take a seat.
Some of these others
still not granted the rank of a master.
What are you? And Ben Solo redeemed, sitting beside her.
Dead?
No, redeemed and alive. Dead? No, God, you're...
Well, well, we've been talking about ghosts.
So anyway, what do you
think? That's a little more face melting.
That is all CG.
No, but the set isn't.
No, exactly, and I know. But if none of the actors or people in green screen suits not sitting on those seats, and you just walked in, it would be a bunch of empty seats, and you just see the Jedi Council room. Which would, again, be kind of cool to see that...
Like, oh, I think it would be pretty cool to walk in and see the Jedi Council again.
I see where you're coming
from.
It
would be something like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I'm able to walk into the set of the Jedi Council,
right.
But I'm not able to see anything about it. I mean, it would be big enough if you saw what was happening.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that that's going to be something big
enough. Yeah, if I'm in the theater, what's going to melt my face off is the fact that there's a council full of these Jedi now. That's what's going to melt my face off. Not the fact that we're at the temple. You know, that would be cruel. Totally cool, but that's not what's going to melt my face off.
And you're
going to be seeing the Force ghosts.
And you got to think as well that most of these Jedi never learned the or had enough power to be Force ghosts.
That's true.
As you see, Order 66, they weren't able to train in that part of anything. So I just don't think that it would work out very well.
Did we mention Luke?
Oh yeah, I mentioned Luke.
Oh, yeah,
there.
And Qui-Gon. That'd be cool.
Okay, let's kind of go into left field here a little bit. Let's talk about maybe Naboo. What if they go back to Naboo? What would you think about that?
That'd be neat, but I mean that planet never really held any significance in my mind. It was cool to see.
It was like,
but,
oh my god!
It's only the location that Palpatine comes from, as well as Amidala.
Yeah,
and but, Jar Jar Binks.
Oh yeah, the truth Sith Lord.
Yeah,
the truth.
Somebody joked that truth one of the articles Sith. I read about this joked that the end scene is actually Jar Jar Binks. Or Darth Jar Jar standing above the bones of all the Jedi over the centuries and declaring his victory.
I mean, Naboo has always been a cool set. It's been a cool place, and I feel like that it, again, would have a lot of, like, oh my gosh, I'm at Naboo. And, again, some fanboys did not like Phantom Menace, so they would be kind of angry, like, the last shots from Phantom Menace?
Yeah, just Naboo? General prequel.
That's actually
dislikers.
A really good
and then,
like that, yeah.
I mean, I was super excited watching the trailer for Battlefront 2. I'm like, oh my gosh, Naboo is going to be a playable map.
Right.
I was super excited for that, but I just don't think it's going to be transferable well in a movie so that it would be big enough
okay.
to be what he's explaining.
What do you think?
About Naboo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's Naboo. All right, we're going to flip these last two.
We're getting a little closer here.
This is an idea I don't think I've read anywhere, but I thought about this one last night.
I thought about this a lot.
And I think... Mm-hmm. I think that there could be some weight to this, but I don't like the idea of it being the final scene. That's where I'm hesitant with it. What if we're in Vader's castle on Mustafar?
Oh, I thought you were going somewhere else. Okay. I thought we were going through the list.
No. I'm going to Mustafar.
Final scene. Yeah, it would totally melt my face off to go see Vader's castle. But it doesn't make sense as a final scene.
Exactly. Because if we see a final scene and we're like, okay, first of all, Vader's castle is still a thing. It's still up. Why is it still up and not been taken down for mining abilities and for it to be better since, you know, he's not alive and nowhere to be dealt with. Why not just the... People will take it down, but it'd be great, but it wouldn't make sense for a last scene.
Hmm.
And again, it would literally melt your face off. But, I mean, he's a comedy guy, so we might be going with that.
That's actually a really good point. Maybe that's why he said that. No, but he would
taking
know.
It literally?
He would know, though, that it was Mustafar.
I just don't
if he was saying
think
that
that would be a good...
Well, yeah, and the crew said, oh, trust me, you don't want to see it.
Yeah.
You know,
it is not.
But they said it will melt your face off. And that's actually what's going on there. They are the ones that said it'll melt your mind. That's what it is. It'll melt your mind.
No, that's the,
yeah. No. I just really don't think that it'll be big enough and it wouldn't make sense. Like, oh yeah, let's bring a Mustafar for the last shot and then just end it right there.
Because
that doesn't explain anything.
I mean, there's probably going to be multiple face melting scenes in this film.
Yeah.
And that can easily be one of them.
Definitely, but we're bringing Vader Immortal with all this Mustafar kind of stuff. I just don't think that it's going to be important enough because there's so much stuff that they brought into the first episode. I was so important to Mustafar itself. I just don't think would be
Yeah, I mean, I could see them going back to Mustafar. That's why I bring this up. I could see, what if, like, Palpatine, you know, one of the rumors that's out there is that Kylo Ren ends up having to side with Rey because Palpatine is, like, it, like, becomes so over the top that I could see, you know, what if this Eon Star, hold on, if you have to play Vader Immortal, this Eon Star thing from, Vader Immortal, this idea of him trying to bring Padme back, which was in the Dark Lord of the Sith comics as well, using the Vader castle and all that. What if this whole trying to resurrect Padme thing becomes this place where Kylo Ren goes to maybe try to resurrect, maybe try to rise Skywalker from the dead in order to combat Palpatine? And we see that. I mean, do you think that that part could be a possibility, even if that's not the last scene?
Maybe. I think it could be, because they're doing a lot of stuff with Vader's castle, so it would make sense for them to start using it a bit more, but maybe.
I don't think that, again, would be big enough, and I don't think it would make sense on Disney's part to do that. I know you can go to YouTube, watch the gameplay, and figure it out from there, but some people were excited when you had to read... Some people said would not be excited if you had to read a different book to learn Snoke's backstory, and then it would tie into Last Jedi. I don't think it'd be a good idea, because a book's cheap at $20 to pick up.
Vader Immortal's $400.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you got a friend who has it.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. It's $410, and that's just not a good idea on Disney's part. I don't think it'd be
good point.
Smart.
Well, I still hope we see Mustafar in the next one. All right, one, the big granddaddy of them all.
Jakku.
Feeling about this.
Shut up.
Not. Why does everybody want to go back to Jakku?
For real.
I couldn't find that clip. I was going to, but it didn't. I didn't find it. Tatooine.
I think we're a little biased with this.
Absolutely.
But.
What do you think, though? Do you think that has to be the final, like, the Lars homestead on Tatooine?
Rey
is the
looking
scene?
At the sunset.
Well, oh my gosh! I just got chills.
Uh-huh. With Ben right next to her.
Oh no, I don't know how much I feel about that, but like, but.
Well, I don't like Ben. Maybe Anakin standing next to her as Force Ghost.
Anakin and Luke. I don't know if we'll see that there, but do you see the twin suns? Do you see the sunset, binary sunset? And that song playing in the background with the Lars homestead.
Right there. I would flip out and probably break down right in the theater.
I think we'd all be crying.
I think
I'm about to cry just thinking about it.
But I do agree that would be an amazing last shot. I think that if you looked out and you saw that it was that in the movie, I think that mostly everybody would just be silent, but I think you would hear a few people bawling.
I'm be the Debbie Downer here, the devil's advocate. We're talking about a scene, though, not a set.
No, but imagine him walking into the set, or walking into the stage, soundstage, right? And they've got
that little hill
the background painted or something like that.
To give a rough...
With the twin sons...
Well,
on
have
there,
blue
and the Lars homestead, and the little rise, and all of that, and that being the final scene.
Well, no, because how they filmed it in the other films was an actual set in the desert, and then they just put another set.
Yeah, but that was also 43 years ago.
Right,
I mean, they
really
can change things up.
You really think JJ, if he were to do this as the final scene, would do it on a soundstage if he had the opportunity to actually go back and do it for real?
They didn't have the opportunity to go to Tunisia. They didn't film in Tunisia. We know that.
Yeah.
So, I get where you're coming from.
Yeah. I mean, I like the idea, but I just don't think it's going
to
happen.
So I reached out to a source of ours last night when I was reading this.
Fulcrum?
Never mind.
No, not Fulcrum.
We have a Fulcrum.
We do have a Fulcrum.
You said you would let me know next time.
Next Star Wars Celebration.
Well, actually, no. You said the year from then, the year from the date of
it hasn't been that long. All right, anyway.
No, of course.
I asked him, I said, you got any birdies out there that have any idea what he's talking about here? And he replied back pretty quickly. And he said, he said, most people, most of what I'm hearing suggests that it probably is Tatooine. And then he says, my speculation. Okay, so let's be very clear, careful
this is,
here.
This is speculation.
This is speculation from this person based on his idea that the location is Tatooine.
Apparently.
With that. Is that his, well, most of the rumors he's hearing is that that Rey might be burying Kylo Ren on Tatooine.
Right next to
Shmi and all of that.
Too morbid.
That would suck.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a good ending to the Skywalker saga.
Let's
just bury Ben. And just end it right there with
Rey looking at the
directed
sunset.
Directed by J.J. Abrams.
And Rey looking at the sunset would probably be the natural thing to happen after that. No. Don't like that.
Too morbid.
You want to hear
sad.
What he wants to, what he's like, yeah, whether, what like he's thinking he really wants to have happen. He's like, I think that Luke Skywalker is coming to life again in this movie.
Fully resurrected.
A physical resurrected Luke Skywalker is the rise of Skywalker. And that he thinks that the final scene is Luke returning to his homestead on Tatooine.
And looking at that sunset. That would hurt.
And
that
him
would...
being the final scene. Him standing there
that
looking
would...
at the binary
well,
sunset.
Hurt. I feel like that...
Baby with Rey.
I feel like that was done in The Last Jedi.
Yeah, but was alive again, standing there in Tatooine with Rey.
Kind of.
And Ben? What if Ben's there?
Yeah, in the grave right behind
No, him. Standing there alive. The three of them are standing there.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm trying
Two?
To.
That would hurt.
It would physically
hurt. You thought the funeral scene in Endgame was tough.
Yeah. All right, well, Kevin Smith went on, and I want to play the last part of it, because all of what we just shared was speculation, and, you know, the source that I have has made it very clear that he's heard some bits and pieces and rumors, and this is what he thinks that it is, or what he's hoping it is, no confirmation whatsoever, right. So much so that I'm not even willing to say who it is, based on that, because I wouldn't put that person in that position,
yeah, that's not fair.
With it. But we do have 5,000 Twitter followers, and one of them gave us that answer. So you can guess. You can go through our list and find the one that you think. But this is what Kevin Smith said after the quote from before.
So for that reason alone, man, and as inquisitive as I am and curious as I am, I desperately wanted to go look. But like when you talk to the magician's like, trust me on this one. You know, sometimes as human beings, we want to know how to pull the rabbit out of the hat. But JJ is such a magical magician that I'm just like, you know what? Do it. Trick me. I'll wait and get tricked. Even though I could have seen what it was, I was like, I'll sit back. I like your plan. He's never let me down so far. So it's there. There are people in the world that know what the last shot is, even if the movie's not fully cut together at this point. I'm not one of them.
All right. I love the way he's approaching it.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, there's sometimes you just don't want to be spoiled.
Yeah.
We don't want to be spoiled either. All right. I don't want to know what it is. I reached out to somebody that I knew would handle it the right way, and he did.
Mike Zero, right?
It was definitely not Mike Zero. I do not follow him on Twitter, and he does not follow me.
Good.
All right. I don't even think he has a Twitter anymore. honestly, I think he cut it. He shut it down.
Cool.
All right. I'm going to start with you, BB Nate. Which do you want of these options, or another one? Which
definitely
do you want?
Definitely the Tatooine son.
A twin son's moment.
Yes.
A Tatooine Sons moment.
Right there on our own podcast. Yes, the whole sunset. I would love to start the Skywalker saga with that kind of...
Basically,
you know what I
with
mean.
That.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then end it. I just want it to be a full circle that happens right there and then.
Samuel?
What do I want? Yeah, I want Tatooine. I want Tatooine.
Of those different scenarios for Tatooine entering in here, which do you like?
I can't pick. I can't decide. I just need someone to pick for me. Ideally, JJ.
Well, JJ already has.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm totally on for Tatooine. I want a living Luke Skywalker to be returning to the Lars homestead, and that is the end of the Skywalker saga. Can you imagine? It starts with Luke on that homestead, and it ends with Luke on that homestead.
And I know this is weird, and it's going back to Force Ghosts, but what if we see a Force Ghost Anakin Skywalker just put his hand on Luke's shoulder as they're looking down into the sunset? that would
right in the
that
feels.
That would.
And I think you have to have Rey there. What if the final shot is Anakin? I do think you have to have Ben.
Yeah.
I think you have to have Ben. You have Anakin, you have Luke, and you have Ben. Force Ghost Anakin, Luke, and Ben standing there.
Or what you if gotta you have Rey. Rey's the star of the sequel.
I don't think she's a Skywalker.
You got to think about this. As I was saying, like Anakin putting his hand on Luke's shoulder. What if he just puts his both hands on one on Ben and one on Luke?
Yeah, something like that. That would be pretty amazing.
That'd be great.
All right,
right in the field.
Got me in the guts. All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
Yeah. So, new Star Wars: Vader Immortal Episode 2 story details revealed.
Yeah.
But no release date.
No, I know. What is that all about?
Seriously, I need the second episode. But it was revealed that in this.
Don't get into episode. Too far details with people.
No, I mean, well, I don't know how to say that.
Anyway, there's new details. Go check them out. How's that? Mm-hmm. Are they cool? Because I haven't read them.
It's
about the Force. This whole episode's about the Force.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. You're going to be using crazy Force.
And one-on-one time with Vader. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge ride celebrates 1 millionth rider since opening on May 31st.
I thought this thing was a flop. I thought it was a ghost town. I thought that nobody's going to it. Star Wars is dead.
1 million people since May 31st.
Basically in 2.5 months.
That's nuts. And it's a rider. Not entered. Like, writer.
Yep.
For that one run.
They didn't go in Smuggler's and like, run. This is not good enough. And then they just didn't.
Yep. Yep. Dang. Lucasfilm and Marvel announced Star Wars The Rise of Kylo Ren. I think the title of that is really interesting, guys. Rise of Skywalker is coming out in December, but before that, we get The Rise of Kylo Ren. Interesting. All right, let's talk about this week's podcast poll of the week. It's going to be real easy. Where does the final scene of The Rise of Skywalker take place? If we read your reply on the air, you're going to receive a Make Troopers Canon sticker. I'm going to give you three choices. You can list another one if you want. Yavin 4, Mustafar, Tatooine, or other comment below. We've already given our vote, so Tatooine is what we're hoping. We want to thank all of our producers, DJ Blake, Emily Hoffman, Eric McGillivray, and Ian Thompson. You guys are amazing. Thanks for supporting this show and making it possible every week. Also, our senior producers, you guys are amazinger. Kate Disney Lugers, Judith Jesse Hagrami, Roberto Moreno. You wanted me to keep doing it that way. You said that. So thank you guys. You guys are amazing. We can't do this without you. All of you.
We really
producers, senior producers, everybody. You guys make this show possible every week. Thank you for doing that. And they do that through Patreon. They are supporters on Patreon. Patreon.com/TatooineSons, S-O-N-S. Go there, watch our video, look at the perks, join to be a part of the Sticker of the Month Club, and be a part of what it takes to make family-friendly Star Wars podcasts every single week. Follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Don't do Snapchat because I don't know how that works. And we didn't get any reviews this week, and that makes us sad, so... Please give us a review next week.
Like how we're going to be if they do the Tatooine thing.
Oh my gosh, we're going to be crying like babies.
We're going to have to sit through the whole credits. We're going to have to bring extra napkins.
Do you think we're going to get Mom to go with us to the opening, the premiere this time?
We might.
I think we might with this one.
And the good thing is we have reserved seating, but yeah, do we stay here, risk the app with what we know was Endgame's...
No, we get the tickets like we did before. We're going to do whatever we
do. The podcast before, though? With
I hope so.
The theater?
I hope so. All right. I guess that's going to pretty much do it. Got anything else, guys?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you. Always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.
Yep, yep. Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders.
The Home Depot Days of Doing Bath and Kitchen event is going on now, with everything you need to let the savings flow. Like the Moen Genta 4-inch faucet in brush nickel finish for just $99. It combines a contemporary modern design with a spot-resistant finish for a beautifully clean look in your bathroom. Today is the day for doing and stylish updates at the Home Depot Days of Doing Bath and Kitchen event going on now. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. Offer valid through October 5th while supplies last.
Say Metro by T-Mobile. Got the best deal in wireless, and it's all for you, all for me. Just switch quickly, because Metro has two lines for $80 and two Samsung Galaxy J7 Star phones for free, plus Amazon Prime included. That's the way wireless should be, only at Metro.
Plus sales tax and activation fee. $50 plus rate plan required. Not valid for numbers currently on T-Mobile network or on Metro in past 90 days. Offer subject to change. Offer valid for new Amazon Prime members. Amazon Prime has a $12.99 per month value. Restrictions apply. See store for details and terms and conditions.